Kevin is waiting to talk with you. Call 781-837-4900. Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, 95.9 WATD.
Welcome back to the next segment of Monday Night Talk. And joining us right now, of course, as you know, we already have Steve Amico, who is the chair for the Board of Selectmen Enhanced. Of course, Bob Hayes is here. Joe Rossi has arrived, and we have a couple of representatives from the Duxbury Group, Save Duxbury from NSTAR. We have, I believe, Greg O'Neill. And Martha, how do you say your last name?
Lauber.
Lauber. Now, do we have our folks from NSTAR yet? He's working on that right now. Let's give Greg a chance, Greg and Martha, a chance to kind of give a breakdown as to how your group formed and what some of the conversations have been taking place.
Well, thanks, and thanks for having us. We appreciate the opportunity. We found out about NSTAR's proposed action about a month or so ago, and since then the citizens of the town have really been banding together to try to voice our concerns and our opinions. And I think what I would like to do is just give you a visual from my perspective. I think what we're going to be left with after they come through Duxbury, I think we're going to be left with 4 miles of scorched earth runway. And in that runway, after they're done, going to the full easement edge on both sides, clear-cutting everything that's there, what you then could do is take a Boeing 787 Dreamliner and stick it in there sideways, because that's 206 feet from end to end. Okay. The easement's 210 feet. So, in essence, the town is vigorously opposed to their plan, their vegetation management plan, which is basically going to clear-cut to the outer edge of the easement. They haven't done that, as far as I can tell, in 60-some years since easements were granted in the 50s. And that they've been managing quite well all these years. I've lived in Duxbury 15 years, and many people have lived in town 20, 25 years, 30 years. Their trees and their properties haven't fallen on the lines, even in the worst winter storms that we've seen. So we think they're being overtly aggressive, overreaching, and it's unnecessary to take all the trees out to accomplish what they're trying to accomplish, to preserve transmission lines and provide safe, reliable electricity to the communities.
Okay. I believe joining us on the line, the conference called in, I believe we have Bill Hayes, who is the senior arborist for NSTAR, and I think Michael Durand, who is a spokesperson for NSTAR. Gentlemen, are you there?
Yes, we are, Kevin.
I guess, first and foremost, I don't know if you had a chance, Greg, who is representing Save Duxbury from Save Duxbury's Trees from NSTAR. Give me your take on what's going on here, because from what I understand is that the residents of one particular town are looking to negotiate how far back the trees are cut from the power lines.
Okay, with your permission, what I think would be best, Bill certainly is the one who's most familiar with the direct local situation.
Sure.
What I'd like to do is to provide, you know, a bit of an overview, because I think it's important for us to not lose sight of the bigger picture as we work with local residents. Trees are the number one cause of power outages, and we're committed to reliable electric service. So our arborists every day are faced with a balance between what trees we take out, how many, and our commitment to reliable electric service. So that's the overarching issue that we face on a daily basis. Now, the fact is, when we have storms, you only have to look back at over the last couple of months and the last couple of years to see the intensity of these storms. The lion's share of the power outages that are caused by trees are certainly on the main streets. They're on, you know, the street that I live on, the street that you live on. We understand that. The issue on the transmission lines is, though, one tree, whether it actually touches the line or because of the voltage, if it is even close to the line, can interrupt power to tens of thousands of customers. No better example than over a few years ago, in 2003, there was a close contact on a tree in Ohio with a transmission line. And for those of us who have been around long enough, we all remember that caused the Northeast blackout. And that was a tree that didn't even touch the power lines. So from that point, utilities across the country started to focus more and more on other ways to prevent that from happening. Because again, tens of thousands of people, in that case, hundreds of thousands of people, lost power because of one tree. One more example I'll give you is back in August of last year, in right next door to us in Greenwich, Connecticut. A tree came in contact with a transmission line, and it had interrupted power immediately to 30,000 people. And in addition to that, it interrupted train service from Connecticut to New York for the entire day. So as we are working to do what we need to do, we obviously have to keep that in mind, but we're also very focused on communicating with the communities in which we have to work. And that's a big part of Bill's job, is making sure that even though the message isn't always well received, people understand they need reliable electric service. And Bill is literally, and his staff are going door to door to tell people about that. Well, so at this point, if you don't mind, I'll just turn it over to Bill. He can give you a little insight into what he's been doing.
Well, let me ask you a quick question, Mike. And that is Duxbury the only town that you've heard issues from, or have you been hearing them? I have a representative from Hanson who's here who says that he's had folks in his community who have had complaints as far as how far back trees are cut. And I believe I have Mr. Ed Thorne, who's on the line, who has been fielding calls from residents who weren't too happy with what took place as well. Are you hearing it? Are these three towns the only ones, or is it something that you're hearing all up and down the transmission lines that you guys are looking to cut back?
It's not unique to Duxbury or any of the towns on the South Shore. What we've been finding, though, is as people realize that these trees can cause widespread power outages, many people are more receptive to speaking with us about the work we need to do. But with that said, no, Duxbury, certainly not the only community. But again, part of our job, a big part of Bill's job, is to reach out and let the communities know what we're doing and see if there is a way going forward that once we do what we need to do, that on a case-by-case basis, maybe we can do some planting, some mitigation work to help with the buffer.
I believe, if you don't mind, Michael, I'm going to bring in Ed Thorne. Ed, are you there?
Yep.
If you could, give us your take as far as what have you been hearing from residents? Does it differ from the folks who in Duxbury who have yet to have their trees cut, or have you had any trees cut as of yet, or is it in the works?
Well, yeah. We have a big power line that goes right through the middle of town, and that was the right-of-way that was severely cut, and we got a bunch of calls on that, absolutely. So, I think it was just the width of the cut in the right of way that caused a lot of problems, especially in residential areas where the right of way goes, through residential properties.
Go ahead, and Greg. If I might, that is absolutely understandable. We're not here to tell you that this is something that we're trying to hide the aesthetic issues that are with this. That's absolutely understandable. It's in folks' backyards. One of the things that we had done over the last several years is we've not widened our right-of-way easement as much as we could have or perhaps should have. There were trees that were left at this point starting to become an issue. And now, unfortunately, because of that renewed focus or increased focus on transmission line reliability, now we're starting to reclaim some of the width of the right-of-way that perhaps we should have all along but didn't. And again, we're not here to tell you that it is something that's easy for folks to accept. All we're trying to do is explain the need for it and the reason behind us having to reclaim more of that width.
Greg Olson, who is here for Save Duxbury's Trees, has a question.
Yeah, I've heard this before. We've been in several meetings with town selectmen and others discussing this with Bill and other representatives from Northeast Utilities and NSTAR. And quite frankly, everything that I've read and a lot of residents in town really indicates to me that this is a subjective plan on NSTAR's behalf. There's guidelines, there's best practices, but a lot of the literature in the industry shows that there's a balance that can be struck. The Gallatt equations that are used for minimum clearance distances are industry-wide practice. Those only are measured in 2, 3 feet, 4 feet, 9 feet in some cases. It's not prescriptive for you to have to go to the maximum width of an easement. That's your choice. That's a subjective choice. That's out of balance from this, all considering all the stakeholders that are involved, especially homeowners and landowners who are at the bottom of the pile and not being accounted for, because we're looking at ruined landscapes, we're looking at ruined property values substantially. could be hundreds of thousands of dollars for people. We could be looking at properties that might be unmarketable. I can give you one example of a homeowner in Duxbury who's going to lose probably 250-plus trees, which they have in their backyard out of three sides of their house. Beautiful privacy. After you guys come through and cut out to the edge of the easement, they'll have three sides of the view of entire wide-open ROW, looking at poles and lines, virtually devastated. Now, that, given that, the impact that's so significant to residents through town, it's not justifiable to say, okay, a branch in Ohio 10 years ago blew out the lines. There's always risk. There's arbitrary storms, aberrant storms that will happen that are going to push trees not only in the ROW but outside of the ROW, which is a significant amount of damage that's been done in storm reports. The storms in Connecticut from, I think, 2011 showed only less than 5% outages were due to transmission line failures. There's a whole pile of data and research that supports the other side, and what the residents want is balance, not one-sided, aggressive approach that you're instituting.
How do you respond to that, Michael?
Well, I'm going to let Bill talk about our standards, but let me just say one thing about the fact that there have been less transmission-related outages than you perhaps would have expected over the years with these current storms. That's actually, in our view, a testament to the work we're doing. We don't want to have trees that are going to cause these outages. And that one in Connecticut was a perfect example. That was outside of the right-of-way. It was too large to be where it was, and it interrupted power to 30,000 people. What we look at is we look at how can we prevent them, not being reactive after they've already happened. But again, in terms of our standards, Bill's the arborist. Bill, if you want to jump in, feel free.
Sure. And you know what I'd like to add is that, you know, part of the process was communication. You know, we did do that with the state and local government back in the beginning of the year and then in March. And then as we went through 140 property owner contacts on this right-of-way over the 6 miles of this particular right-of-way. And all the tree work that we're doing in here of incompatible trees is within the right-of-way. It's within our corridor that we're managing trees. And the issue, you know, is going to each of these property owners, discussing it. Why do we need to take these white pine trees down that are 60, 70 feet tall? Or the younger white pines that are 20 feet tall and want to mature to that? And the distances we're talking about is we have a 210-foot wide right-of-way, and we have two transmission lines going down that right-of-way. And we're talking about 75 to 80 feet from center line on either side of that structure, just to put it in context of the distance. So, you know, a big part of that is going through the property owners and discussing, you know, the details of it, understanding, you know, their issues with that, you know, working through it. And so one of the things is saying we're not just simply clear-cutting this. In some areas, you know, if it's all white pine, we will be removing those. But at the same time, we'll be leaving desirable plants there. If you go up and down that right-of-way right now in the wire zone, you'll see those compatible plants that we will leave alone. And so, you know, it's a back and forth there. You know, we recognize there's an impact to the properties, to the property owners who spend a lot of time and care maintaining their properties, and we realize that, you know, and part of the neighborly gesture we're doing is doing some stump grinding, loaming, and seeding. We're discussing what plants are compatible within the right-of-way, those trees that are going to grow to 15 feet tall at maturity, dogwood, apples, hawthorns, and we're discussing that, and we're discussing, you know, what the company will do to mitigate certain properties where there's a large impact in their landscape area as it relates to the right-of-way.
Okay, good, Joe.
I guess both of my questions are from both sides of this argument are, you know, when a homeowner purchases a home where there's a right-of-way that passes behind it, shouldn't they be aware that that right-of-way exists and that anything can happen within that right-of-way? Perfect example is the Greenbush train line,
sure,
train path, where the train path, the people knew that it went through the house, had the house for 50 years, and now there's a train running behind it. And the second question is, you know, in storms where transmission lines are affected, you know, is there a, you know, for the same amount of power that's affected by the trees that hit the lines, you know, is there I guess the question I'm looking for is there a balance that we can find between, like, is it more of a wind issue? Is it more of a storm issue? You know, has that been looked at? I guess those are my two main questions.
We'll let Greg answer the first one as far as the homeowner.
Yeah, people realize that there's easements on the property, that's for sure. But I can tell you back when I moved in 15 years ago, it was heavily forested all through the easement and the right-of-way. As for many residents, even many years earlier, you could barely even see that they were there. And over the last decade, with the evolution in industry practices, we've seen a more aggressive approach continue to evolve in terms of maintenance. Mm. I would argue that there's opportunity when you look at NSTAR's vegetation management plans and reports that they've submitted to regulatory bodies. There's many pages of diagrams of different pruning techniques. There's ways to cut back limbs. There's ways to thin crowns so they might not cause an outage due to being heavily crusted with snow in a particularly bad storm. I think there's opportunity for them to work with us. And Bill, quite frankly, I challenge you on your thought about you're going to leave natural plants that are in there. This is a pine forest that we live in. It's white pines. It's beech, birch trees, wild birch trees. There's oak trees. When you guys come through, there's going to be nothing left. I challenge you to find 5% of the trees that are going to be actually standing there, based on what's going to be compatible. I just don't see that happening.
Bill, do you want to respond?
Sure. The gentleman brings up a great tree, a white pine. If you look around, throughout the community in Ducks area and Marshville and Kingston, white pine's a great example. You know, it's 70, 80 feet right now. They grow to 100 feet tall in that area. And, during the storms in February, many of those trees throughout the communities, uprooted, snapped off 8-10 feet up and broke and fell, on people's homes and their properties out into the road, out onto distribution power lines, and out onto transmission power lines. So that's a perfect example. The tree is just incompatible. So we want to eliminate those trees, that particular species, and encourage the others that are in an early successional low growth.
So Bill,
there's not much you can do to a pine tree when it wants to grow to be 60, 70 feet tall. You can't cut it in half. That's not a sustainable best management practice.
All right, so go your follow-up, Greg.
Yeah, Bill, I'm not suggesting you even cut a tree in half, but you can prune things back. I asked the question at the town selectman meeting last week. Has a tree fallen in Duxbury's quarter line? Not Kingston, not Pembroke. The last 10 years, the last 15 years, the last 20 years, did a white pine fall and take the lines out? I didn't get an answer to that.
Sure. And again, without transmission, there is no distribution. And one corridor is dependent on the next, So we have had not just white pines, but oaks uproot from within our easement, from outside of our right-of-way easement, and taken out power lines. In Duxbury in particular, no. And so there's a zero tolerance to have that happen on a day like today. We'll have some thunderstorms come through later. And those are the sort of events where a pine tree or an oak tree can uproot or snap and come down into the power line. So really the question is, on a transmission system, where a utility has the ability to control vegetation within their corridor, they should not be having any incidences of trees hitting those transmission lines.
I want to give Steve Amico a chance. Steve, you got any questions as far as anything that you've heard or anything that may have affected any of your residents during any of their tree clearing?
Yeah, absolutely. We've heard from a lot of residents in our area that said that you guys are getting into the wetlands and conservation area. It's been pretty devastating. I mean, you drive down State Street right now and you look all the way through to William Way and Audubon, and it's a huge strip. As they described before, it's like a landing strip. My brother was affected by it. He lives on Barber Road, and he backs up to it, which he understood totally when he bought the home that, he was going to have an easement there. But no one ever said that they were going to come in and cut the trees out the way they have. It's pretty devastating, and I think it's dangerous in some areas because they actually left. They did grind some of the bigger stumps down, but they left some of the smaller stumps that, if someone's in there walking around, they hurt themselves, they fall, they can actually get speared by some of the smaller stumps. They've left them so high. So we have had a lot of issues, and we have had phone calls in reference to that type of an issue.
So, Bill, I guess my question to you would be, is now that some of this has been cleared away, but folks feel that maybe you guys might have went beyond that, is that a lesson to be learned, or is this something that can be done to mitigate that situation?
Well, you know, we're always willing to talk with each property owner and discuss, again, how far back we're going to cut the trees to, the incompatible, what will be left, what the outcome will be. You know, we'll grind all that brush. We'll chip all that brush. We'll remove the wood. If homeowners, property owners want the wood, we'll leave it there for them. You know, we take that all away otherwise. And so in the end, there is no brush or debris left behind. And we'll talk to each individual property owner if they have specific questions about how it relates to their property, our right-of-way.
All right. I believe joining us right now is Jennifer. And Jennifer, I believe, is a resident who has been quite active in this situation. She's a Duxbury resident. Jennifer, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
And you have something that you want to share?
Well, I compiled something I just wanted to read, although I hate for all of us to kind of go back and forth and split hairs and bicker about whether the earth will be scorched or won't it. We all know the truth, and that is it will be. If I could just have the floor for a moment.
Sure.
Northeast Utilities and NSTAR say they are committed to the land, to natural resource conservation. They demonstrate the highest regard for environmental stewardship, and they mitigate project environmental impacts with state-of-the-art preservation techniques. Their vegetation management program minimizes the impact on property owners and supports a healthier, more diverse habitat for wildlife. Their chemical program is an environmentally friendly solution and has a net benefit for their environment. I will say, don't be fooled by their PCBS. NSTAR's vegetation management program chooses to unilaterally cut down every single tree that is growing within their full right-of-way, which is the wire zone and the border zone. No exceptions, okay? We're not talking about leaving a blueberry bush. We're talking about everything that has the potential to grow higher than 15 feet over the next 100 years. They're wiping it out. And they're following it by adding an herbicide treatment to prevent resprouting, adding a petroleum-based agent to reduce drifting, and enabling penetration of the bark tissue, and tree growth stunters used to reduce tree growth is applied as a basal drench around the base of the tree. Incredulously, NSTAR states their herbicide programs have less impact on wetlands than mechanical-only techniques. Therefore, NSTAR selectively applies herbicides to wetland sites except within 10 feet of standing and flowing water. They claim to recognize the importance of the Mass Endangered Species Act, yet get this. Details about the priority habitat of state-listed species that might be affected by their activities and management recommendations are, quote, shared with NSTAR under strict confidentiality agreements, end quote. Wow, that's pretty scary. It appears NSTAR would like us to turn a blind eye.
Okay.
Let's be clear, and yeah. I'm almost done. Almost done. Clear cutting and chemical drenching the soil is not mandatory industry standard. NSTAR is planning to operate with unrestricted authority.
Okay.
It's morally, ethically, legally reprehensible to conduct business in such a way that it's irrevocably damaging our land,
okay,
our wildlife, and our quality of life. And I will say to NSTAR, you'd be wise to alter your vegetation management practices and work with us, not against us. We expect your cooperation in adopting a selective tree removal program for the Duxbury Corridor, and in lieu of chemicals, use environmentally friendly green alternatives instead. And
I got to wrap you up and give them a chance to at least respond, because we got 2 minutes before the top of the hour, okay?
Thank you.
Yep. Do you want to respond, Bill?
Sure. And, you know, fortunately, NSTAR and all our electric utilities are publicly regulated entities, and there's many state and federal regulators that we have to report to and had advice on them. And one of them is, you know, Mass Wildlife, Natural Heritage Endangered Species Program. And the priority habitats are protected, and the disclosure of that information is protected, and you know, local conservation agent can attest to that. So there's many aspects of what we do that others, agencies, again, oversee us and make sure we're doing the correct correct applications out there.
Does anybody else, do you want, Craig?
Well, I just,
or Martha? Martha hasn't said anything. Martha, just I want to give you a chance to at least say something before we close out
Thank
the segment.
You. I just wanted to add an additional concern that's coming up for me and I think other residents is, if ANSTAR is willing to work with homeowners on an individual basis, how can we make sure that everyone is aware of that and that everybody has sort of an equitable access to the time and care that this ANSTAR plan would be? To me, it seems like if somebody's not fully aware of their right to have that discussion with ANSTAR, how can we make sure that they are informed of that option? And I guess, quite frankly, I'm not really sure that it's even possible for your corporation to be able to promise individualized discussions and replanting for every person that's affected in any given town.
Gentlemen, you got one last chance to say something. Do you have any planned meetings with whether it's Duxbury or any other residents in order to, you know, kind of get on the same page or at least...
Sure, absolutely. And, you know, as I pointed out, we notified 140 property owner abutters on this particular right-of-way. We've, you know, notified the state. We've talked to the local town government, town of Duxbury. We've had public hearings, this radio program, newspaper. I think a lot of folks have that opportunity to communicate with us if they'd like. We're not actually offering, you know, mitigation to every single property owner. We're offering it to those folks that have landscaped areas that have encroached into the right-of-way and offering to help those out, those folks out that have had a decade or more, you know, into the right-of-way that, you know, now there's a 70 or 80-foot tree that needs to be removed. So, you know, our easement instrument is attached to that mortgage or deed or that property, and it's followed the life of that property since the 50s and 60s. And, you know, we'll work with those property owners as they contact us, as we contact them. And, you know, I'm confident that the majority of the folks who want to be in a discussion will have that opportunity to come to us, and we will meet with them.
Well, Bill and Mike, I thank you guys for joining us. If there is a resident, whether it's Duxbury, Pembroke, Hanson, no matter if they have, you know, any questions about this issue and they're near power lines, how can they get in touch with ANSTAR and talk about their concerns? Hello?
Bill, is there a number on the flyer, Bill, that we've been handing out? Or?
Sure. So part of that notification is the vendor has given its number. You can call that. We will have in the next week or so on the Duxbury Town website a number to call so that we can, you know, keep the different communication channels, whether you're calling Northeast Utilities in Berlin or ANSTAR in Westwood, the town of Duxbury, you'll have one number that you can call and you will be contacted and scheduled an appointment with.
Okay. Greg, Martha, is there a number if folks are a Duxbury resident who want to get involved with the group and want to learn more? Because you guys got a lot of information. How can they get in touch with you guys?
We have a Facebook page that's available. It's Save Duxbury's Trees from ANSTAR that you can like, and then you'll be kept up to date with any developments that we have. There's the opportunity to add your comments and questions, and we'll make sure that they get answered. I am hoping that at some point we can circulate more contact information on an individual neighborhood or street basis, and eventually I would love to join forces with some of these other towns and maybe have a group, a website or Facebook page.
Well, I want to thank everybody. I want to thank, I mean, ANSTAR, both Michael and Bill for being a part of the conversation. Not only that, Jennifer, Martha, and Greg for coming in here and talking about this. And let's definitely have you guys, whether it's separately or together, talk about this in a couple of weeks and update folks as to what's going on. We're going to step aside. When we come back, we are going to speak with State Rep Jeff Deal. Don't go anywhere.